And welcome back to School Spirit on Armor of God Catholic Radio. This is Tom McNew, and Miss Robin Spencer is with me again. Robin, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. Good afternoon, Tom.
And today we are here with Texas State Representative Brad Buckley from District 54, Jennifer Allman, who's the Executive Director with the Texas Catholic Conference of Bishops, and Mrs. Kelly Laster, who y'all know from the superintendent's office at the Austin Diocese. Thank you, each and every one of you, for joining us today. We appreciate you carving some time out of your schedule. We're gonna jump right into a little bit of a controversial topic, and we may need some time to unpack it all and to get understanding of all the different aspects of it. But I'm sure many of our listeners have seen the articles and the news briefs and the reports and everything about the different sides of this school choice issue. Or I guess more accurately here in the state of Texas, it's educational savings accounts or ESAs. Chairman Buckley, help our listeners kind of unpack this and really what does House Bill 3 mean to the parents and grandparents of our school-aged children?
You know what it does is first of all, thank you very much for having me. It's really great to be with you. But House Bill 3 puts a tool in the hands of parents to make sure that they're able to provide the type of education that fits their families and their students' needs best. And what I always say is just another tool in the toolbox, that educating kids has never been more complicated. Raising a family's never been more complicated, and so it's important that parents have every tool at their disposal so that they can provide a pathway that works best for their kids. We only get one shot at raising our youngins, and you need to be able to provide the pathway that that will work best for them. And so that's what House Bill 3 does. I mean, that's a very high level overview, but that's really what it does.
So can you kind of unpack a couple of the key provisions for us? What the bill
Yeah, well,
contains?
it's a universal ESA program, meaning every child is eligible, but we also understand that it's important to prioritize children that we know are often more difficult to educate. Children that often have more needs and face more struggle. And so what we've done is prioritize children with special needs. We've prioritized children, families with lower incomes, understanding that often those children face more challenges at school every day than other kids. And so since we do have a $1 billion appropriation, which is a lot of money, it's not unlimited. And so what we've tried to say is who gets in line first and who can have access to a true parent-directed opportunity to receive the type of education that a parent believes is in the best interest of their child. And it's a really a change in thinking for Texas. We love our public schools, and our public schools do great work for so many kids, but it is an absolute fact that it doesn't fit all kids. And so this bill seeks to create that pathway. And again, another tool in the toolbox for moms and dads and grandparents and guardians ac across Texas.
Awesome. Awesome. I think it's important for us all to really kind of put away the noise or look past all the noise and really dive into the facts of it, facts of the bill as it exists. Robin?
So Jennifer, where does TCCB stand on this issue and tell us a little bit about why, please?
Yeah, we're thrilled with House Bill 3. The bishops have been supporting parental choice in education for decades, and this is really one of the very best bills we've ever seen in Texas on this issue. It meets all of the bishops' criteria for support for parental choice. And the four criteria the bishops have are that the bill require accountability through accreditation, and that's in HB 3, that the bill require accountability and transparency through norm reference testing, and that's in HB 3. That if there is limited funding, the poor are prioritized, and that's in HB 3. And finally, that there are strong religious liberty protections so that our Catholic schools remain Catholic. And that's in HB 3. So we couldn't be happier to support this bill and to support Chairman Buckley in bringing it across the finish line after 2 decades of fighting for it.
Well, what a blessing that it checks all those boxes. Thank you, Chair.
It
That is really a blessing. Kelly, the same to you. Where does the Austin Diocese stand and why? How are we feeling about that?
You know, the same as TCCB, we are Catholic schools are a part of the Conference of Catholic Bishops here in Texas. So, of course, we support it wholeheartedly. As a matter of fact, our superintendent, Misty Poe, was one of the testimonies during that long hearing last week. And but it's worth it. It's, you know, because it allows our families, just like both Jennifer and Chairman Buckley have said, it allows our families to make choices that are best for their families.
Well, that's wonderful. And Chairman Buckley, so let me just clarify something that I heard you say earlier, and I may have misheard. So there, when we're looking at those children that are special needs, that there's a priority placed on them within this bill?
Yes, that's correct. And you know what we understand is when we look at families currently in public school, children with special needs often there's often more parental concern over the delivery of services for lots of different reasons, some of which have to do with financial reasons for our schools. Some of it has to do with the ability to find the types of services. But it also, I think, you know, in public schools, our special education services are delivered under onerous federal regulation. And you know, what I believe what we can really accomplish here in a population that's vulnerable and has significant challenges often is provide a setting for a child where a parent can be a partner with a school, where a parent can really realize the delivery of those services that a kid needs to thrive. And we know in our Catholic schools in particular, that a larger percentage of our students in our Catholic school population have special needs than in our public schools. And so one of the arguments is often that, you know, private schools don't you know, they don't take kids with special needs. Well, we know that that's not true. And we know that there's some excellent special education services being delivered in private schools in Texas and in particular Catholic schools. And it really is a tremendous opportunity for parents to sort of you know, relieve themselves of some of the conflict and the constant advocacy that they often have to endure, you know, really standing up and advocating and fighting for their children to receive the services they deserve.
Sure. And then, of course, the schools, the private schools, then are, especially our Catholic schools, we're looking at that monetary support to even be able to serve those populations and all the populations better with this.
Yeah, you know, what my bill does is it speaks to the fact that, you know, kids with certain learning challenges often have a higher cost of education. And so what we've done in our bill, one of the proudest things that we've been able to do, and I want to thank Speaker Burroughs for really supporting me in this effort, and that is to allow that our ESA for a child with special needs will actually, the amount of it will be reflected by the amount that a child would receive as an entitlement in a public school. So it really takes the cost of education into account, and then it will it's capped at $30,000. But a child with significant learning challenges could acquire and have an ESA that will really bring resources to bear in our private school setting to really help not only but to help to improve you know, to expand the capabilities of private schools to deliver even more high quality services to special needs kids.
Well, thank you. Thanks for clarifying that, Tom.
Yeah, so Chairman, there seems to be a lot of opposition. Again, if your only source of information is social media, you're going to get a skewed aspect of everything. But certainly this issue with the accusation that, oh, this is just going to help the wealthy kids get into the most expensive private schools and, in the major metropolitan areas, and the farmers' kids are out of luck. Now, how would you respond to that criticism?
Well, I think anytime you want to make big change and you want to do things differently than you've done it in the past, there's always some concern and some hesitation. And that sort of leads sometimes, I think, to what I call doomsday scenarios. And it's just not the case. It hasn't been borne out in any other state that offers these parental options and parental choice. But I think what it really tells us is that we just have to stand up to do what is right and understand that a parent really has the God-given right to direct the education of their kids. And when you do it in an environment that is accountable and is transparent and has a track record of delivering great education, for me as a conservative, I feel very comfortable, promoting and authoring a bill that will provide these types of services and opportunities. But I also feel very comfortable in standing up to those that feel like it's going to be detrimental to public education. I am quite certain that public education will improve. Well, with the implementation of parental choice, it does so in every other state. But even more importantly is that more kids and more parents get the opportunity to get the best education possible, because that's really why we do school. I mean, that's really why we're there, right? That's what I'm fighting for every day. What Jen fights for every day is just give parents an option. Raising kids is complicated. It's hard. I have three of them. It was I'm gray-haired from it, but my wife and I had a lot of choice. Our kids did not go to private school, by the way, but we transferred into another public school district. We're pretty blessed. We were able to make that work with our work schedule. But every parent, especially those in the kids and families in vulnerable situations, they need that option as well. And I think that once we have a program that's flourishing in Texas, we're going to see everyone unify around educating kids and providing great options for families, and which for the for you know for 90% of kids in Texas will always be public school. But for those that want a different path, we're creating that today. We're closer than we were yesterday. We'll be closer tomorrow than we were today. But we still have a way to go.
And you mentioned that you're paying attention, or you mentioned the other states. Are you paying attention then to, because there are like two court cases that are coming up with some of these other states that have implemented options of along the lines of school choice?
Oh, absolutely. I think my job leading a committee is to not only pass policy, but really understand how to implement it. Because this is a serious endeavor. These are people's kids. And so we have to have a program that is designed in the right way, that does not, that's as user-friendly, for lack of a better term, as possible, that understands that, parents will, some may need assistance in accessing, but then at the end of the day, it needs to deliver. It needs to make sure that we deliver the outcomes for kids, and that will come around a smartly designed program that really must be accessible to parents, but it also must maintain the integrity and the values of our private schools, because I think often that's really what a parent is seeking. And so, I've been very, very careful to make sure that we understand that a public school will never be private and a private school will never be public. And
Exactly.
that's okay, because it's a choice a parent gets to make. And so for me, it's just, that's a win-win. And when we can all begin to think of it as that, and we can think about kids and stop thinking about systems, We tend to land in a better spot. And I believe we're seeing the tide turn on that. I really hope so.
Amen. So let's talk funding. Is there going to be an impact on property taxes? Where's the money for the ESAs coming from, please?
Well, it is, I will tell you, not one dime of this money comes from our public school, our foundation school program.
Okay.
All of that is appropriated separately. But the House and the Senate have said we're going to take some of this other general revenue, some of the revenue we'd spend on roads or we'd spend on health care, or we'd spend on water or public safety, and we're going to prioritize giving parents a choice, because that is smart and a good use of public dollars. And we've seen it in state after state, where states have decided to give parents an option. You look at Florida. Florida's been at this for 20 plus years, and we know that that we can make sure that this program does not disrupt or any way impact the funding of our public schools. But there's an agreement that we need to make this investment. It's an investment, the same way we'll invest in water infrastructure. We'll invest in the future, is what we're doing. Investment in education is really not about today, but it's really about when I'm an old man and somebody's got to take care of me. Is the way I look at it. And so I want all hands on deck, and parental choice creates, I think, an all hands on deck approach for parents.
Great. Well, thanks so much for clarifying that, Tom.
Yeah, so Chairman Buckley mentioned this has been going on now for this battle, if you will, has been going on for quite some time. Can you kind of give us a little bit of the history
Yeah,
of
I'd
school
be happy
choice?
to.
And yeah.
So I can give you the history from my experience. I
Sure.
worked for the Bishops Conference since 2006, and I've testified. I think I'm the only person who has personally testified in every single hearing in the Texas Senate on school choice for the whole decade of the 2000s. I can't say that about the House because the House didn't have hearings for many of those decades. So yeah, I've still testified in all the House hearings, but they only started having them in 2011 or so. I
Okay.
think our first big hearing in the House was in 2011, or maybe it was 2013. It was the year Pope Francis was elected, because it was during the conclave that we were getting the bill filed. So I remember that being so excited during the conclave that the author of the bill was willing to file it. And at that time, that bill author, we asked him to file it the day before the bill filing deadline. And he said yes. And he was so excited to do it. And then Cardinal DiNardo called me and said, "Okay, I'm getting ready to leave for the conclave. What's the update on school choice?" And I said, "We have a bill author. He's filing it tomorrow." And he's like, "Fantastic. I'm turning off my phone. I'll talk to you when we have a new pope." And I'm like, "Wonderful." Well, the very next day, that House sponsor calls me, says, "Come to my office. We got to talk." And I get there and he goes, "My superintendent called me. I can't file this bill." And I was like, "Well, I'm sorry, representative. I've already told Cardinal you're filing it. Well, can you call him? Let's get him on the phone." And I said, "Actually, I can't. Not get him on the phone. He's at the conclave."
Little bit tied up, yeah.
That bill author shouts to his chief of staff, "Jonathan, file the bill. Cardinal's going to the conclave to elect a pope, and we're going to get school choice done." That was 2013, and our big success that year was we had a hearing. And so here we are, fast forward to 2025, and we're going to pass this bill. And the rest of the state has caught up to the wisdom of school choice. And we're pleased to be a part of that effort. We're pleased to have Chairman Buckley partnering with us on looking to make sure that this can be implemented. Because sometimes, lawmakers have great ideas and they file the bill, but they might not always talk to the citizens who are going to implement that bill in real life. And Chairman Buckley's done a really good job of that. And that's really important to not just pass a bill, because that's a political thing, right? You pass a bill. But to deliver school choice to the families of Texas means it's implemented well. And Chairman Buckley has been incredibly thoughtful in how he has structured all of the detail of the bill, down to the point about the special needs kids being able to access more funding than this, than the regular education kids. And how that would work, I wanted to make sure to elaborate on this point because I think for our parents that are listening and they're going, okay, I have a kid with dyslexia. What does that actually mean? What
Yeah.
that actually means is whatever the allotment is for that kid in a public school, it might be $15,000. The rest of the parents in the program are getting the 10,500 roughly is the amount of the education savings account, but a child with dyslexia would get 15. So if the school tuition at St. Mary's is 8,500, that parent with dyslexia would be able to pay for the dyslexia tutor to come to St. Mary's and work with that student. Because an education savings account is not just for tuition, it's for all of the services the parent needs to educate the child. So, where our Catholic schools do have some integrated special ed services that are included in tuition, many of them also offer additional services that where outside professionals come in, but there are extra fees for those. The
Sure.
allotment of this bill covers those fees. So you can see that even down to that detail, he's thinking about what do kids need, what do parents need, and how will this work? And this bill does that.
And so, Chairman, where are we at with the bill? Here as we come up to getting close to, or here this first weekend of April, getting close to Easter time here, where are we standing with the
Well, we had a 22 and a half hour hearing.
bill?
That was fun.
Was
Yeah,
it?
it ended at it started at 8 in the morning and ended at about 6:30 a.m. the next morning.
Good times.
Now we the reason I say 22 and a half is because we went to the floor. We had to recess the hearing for a bit, go to the floor, then come back. So I want to be accurate here. I don't want to tell a
Yeah.
fib. It was a long day. But it right now what we're doing is we're working on some technical corrections. You have a hearing for a reason. It's not theater. You're talking to Texans. We talked to a bunch of them and got talked at quite a bit too. But that's okay. But you're also talking to members. We want this to work. Jen has been great about describing for us how it needs to work, so that I can make sure, because somebody has to implement this, and the comptroller's office, the way the bill's written, will do it. But we got to give them clear guidance on what we're talking about, and what we don't want is for a family to get in a bind. We want them to have we want to have it structured where they can, they can pay their tuition, they can access those extra services. Can you imagine for a parent right now, let's say that's not in private school, to all of a sudden at their at their fingertips, in consultation with educators in a Catholic school, they can then drive and provide the services that kids need. And it's and that's, you talk about empowering. And what I've always thought one of the benefits of school choice is that when a parent is driving the decisions, that's an invested parent. That is a parent that volunteers. That's a parent that makes sure homework is done. That's a parent that backs up the teacher for discipline. That's a parent that really, to me, is just more engaged. And I think that's one of the benefits we're going to see from this. And I think that's, to me, sort of the silver lining, the extra, the icing on the cake for school choice. We'll vote the bill out of committee, hopefully here in about a week, or maybe a little less. Then it'll go to calendars, and we'll have it set to go to the floor at some point, and that'll be where the rubber meets the road. The hearing was great. One quick anecdote: my wife watches the hearings periodically. Jen is her favorite witness because she goes at them. They come at her, and she comes back with facts. And the
That's
opponent, I
awesome.
mean, it's good watching. If you got some time, it's good watching. And so my wife had never met Jennifer, and she called me. She goes, "Who is the Catholic lady?" And I was like, "Oh, that's Jennifer Allman." She goes, "Oh my gosh, she's good." And I said, "Well, that's why she's there." So that's the this has been such a long process. I've kind of found joy in this again. You know what I mean? Because we're this the speaker supports us. Families support this. Don't believe the polling. So even in Salado, Texas, where I live, a family will tell me, you know, I like Salado ISD, but I wouldn't mind having that in my back pocket. It's their children. You know what I mean? They are in charge. Parents are in charge, and they need to have that option. And so, you know, you're going to see polls where 20% of the people of Texas support this and whatever. The reality is parents are smart. Parents are in charge. They ought to be. And, you know, hopefully we'll have this thing done here in the next few weeks.
That's awesome. Well, sir, thank you very much for your time. Jennifer, before we go here, we got a couple minutes left. If our listeners want to find out more and or stay kind of abreast as the bill progresses, how can they where's the best place for them to go?
Well, that would be our website, of course, www.txcatholic.org. So that's Texas Catholic, txcatholic.org, and they can sign up for the Texas Catholic Voice. We send out a weekly newsletter every Monday outlining what's going on with all of our bills. And Chairman Buckley has several other great education bills we support, including House Bill 2, which is for public education funding. And so I think a lot of your listeners who are interested in both public school and school choice will find great information about both of those bills and all the other bills the bishops are supporting. And also joining our Advocacy Day on April 1st, when we'll have about 4,000 Catholics coming to the Capitol to advocate on behalf of HB2 and HB3 and several other bills the bishops care about.
And I will echo the website. I pulled this infographic earlier in the week, and I was trying to, you know, do some research here, get myself smart on in preparation for this. So,
I'm
and
sure
that's
that
a
was
really
easy to
good,
get smart.
it's a really good, I mean, it's just one page, but it's a really good rundown of the Senate Bill 2 and House Bill 3 and their kind of comparisons of what they mean in plain language. I'll be honest, I tried to read the bill from the legislative site. And I got about a paragraph and a half into it, and my head started splitting open. I'm not very smart, so. Well, listen, thank you very much. We're going to run out of time here. Chairman Buckley, Jennifer, Kelly, thank you very much for taking some time out of your day and unpacking this issue for us. We appreciate everything you're doing for our school kids here in the state of Texas.
All right.
Hey, thanks for having me. I look forward to
Thank
seeing
you.
everybody on April the 1st.
Yeah.
All
Hey,
right.
Come on down.
thank you so much. God bless y'all.
All right.
Thanks.
All
Bye-bye.
right. Bye-bye.
God bless.